they travel home tomorrow. I think they have a session in the morning. Then they'll be traveling home tomorrow, so y'all continue to pray for them. And I know we have many other prayer requests. We done mentioned some this morning. Do we have any others? Just remember our church in the upcoming year. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do, with not with just our youth, but with our whole church. I was thinking about the upcoming year. We brought Brother Derek on for our youth, and excited about some things going on, and we're going to start trying to do a few more things to reach out to our community through the year. So I just want you to begin praying. The number one thing we can do as a church is pray. That's the most powerful thing we can do. We can install every program from here to Lifeway, but we can pray and ask the Lord to bless it, and that's when he breathes on it, that's when things will happen. So that's our prayer this year, that he begins to work through our church to reach the lost in this community. That's what it's all about, is reaching the ones for him. So I ask you to remember that. And a few more things. I ask you to remember tomorrow night, I would invite you to, I'll do it since they're not here, invite you to Jonathan Carey's house. They're on the trip with the youth right now. They're going to come home in the morning, and we'll have our usual New Year's Eve get-together at their house tomorrow night. If you've never been to that, the young ones, I guess the old ones can too, but bring your swimsuit. Most of us older people don't care to swim until it gets about July. But Jonathan M's got an indoor pool over there that's heated and everything. So bring your swimsuit or come and just have fun playing games. We eat, play games, different things. Have a good time of fellowship every New Year's. And we may not try to stay as late as we usually do to give them a little bit of rest, but we'll be there pretty late. So ask you to come, have a good time, and remember that tomorrow evening. Do we have anything else that need to be mentioned or anything before we go into our service this morning? I don't have Stephanie here to keep me straight, so I forget everything. Nothing else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and our song service may look a little bit different this morning. A lot of our singers are in Tennessee, so we're going to do the best we can. And let's just forget about most people's off of work tomorrow anyway. I'm not, but those of y'all that are, let's just forget about what we're going to do then. Let's just spend this hour worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth as he truly deserves it. And think about what a year he's blessed us with. And I know he's going to bless us in the upcoming year. So let's just spend some time with him this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you again thanking you for this day. Father, I thank you for each one that's come out. Lord, I ask you to work in this service mightily this morning. God, I ask you to change us. Lord, your word is what it takes. It's, you can speak one word. You can breathe one word and do more than a man can do in a million. And God, I ask you to speak to a heart this morning. Lord, Father, if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know you, I pray they will before this service is over. And God, I pray you use this church to reach the lost for you in the upcoming year. Lord, I pray everything we do and say is to be to honor and glorify your son, Jesus. For it's in his name we ask these prayer requests. Amen.
Oh.
Service, I forget. Hey Floppy.
That's really cute.
Good to have y'all again. How you? You doing good today? Hear me. What's Santa Claus bring? That? He bring you something? What about you? This? He bring you something? What? What is it? You ain't gonna tell me? Baby doll? Bicycle? Four wheeler? Sack of hickories? Coal? What'd you get? You got a four wheeler? You got coal?
Heaven and earth proclaim.
Amen. Good to be here again this morning. It's excited about the new year coming, and with a new year comes new opportunities and everything. And again, studying this week about what the Lord would have me to preach, and laid a message on my heart about the, if you remember the parable of that Jesus given on the Mount of Olives about where the wealthy man gives to the servants his talents and ask him to invest them while he's gone. And I want you to see this morning that that's exactly what the Lord has done with us. He has given us abilities, have given us talents that he expects us to be using this morning. But I'm afraid, I know in my own life, and maybe some of your lives too, you have to answer the question for yourself, that a lot of the times my talent is hidden. You may say, well, I've heard you preach a bunch of times, you don't have much talent. Well, I probably don't, but it's my responsibility to be using what God has blessed me with to the best of my ability. And it's also your responsibility. So as you're thinking about the upcoming year, it's always, as we get this time of year, you turn your TV on and you see all these commercials about losing weight or about doing this or doing that, or it's all about looking better and doing better, because the end of a year is a new time, a brand new start. So everybody begins getting excited about how they can be better. Well, this year I'm really not concerned about how much better we can look, because if you like me, when you look in the mirror, you don't think you can get any better looking anyway. So I'm not worried about that this year. I'm truly desiring to see not only myself, but also our congregation get more involved for the work of Jesus Christ. And each one of us has been given a talent. We've been given something that God has blessed us with. But guess what? He's not going to pull us off the couch, and he's not going to make us get busy. He's not going to twist your arm and make you get to work for him. You have to supply some want to. You have to supply some get up and go, and I promise you, he will bless it if you will truly invest the talent he has given you. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter number 25, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. You'll see it's a very, very familiar scripture. You probably read it, heard it, or saw it read many times. You may have read it many times. I hope you have, and it still speaks true to us today. If you ever really studied the Olivet Discourse that Jesus has given here on the Mount of Olives, the disciples ask him a question in the beginning of this thing. They ask him, what is it going to look like in the last days? What is it going to look like in the end times? Before you return, what is this thing going to look like? And Jesus begins giving them these parables about what the end is going to look like and what the church is going to look like, although these guys didn't understand at the time really what that was going to mean, didn't understand really what the church was to be. But you and I today, we can understand what God's church is. We know that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit come in on the day of Pentecost. The first church began to start. The first church began to spread. And God began blessing. And ever since the church has been around, God has blessed men and women with talents to be used with him. Now, the sad thing is that for all centuries, there have been people that supposed to have been in God's work that has simply hidden their talent. I have met people and I have said to myself, that person would be a great Bible teacher, or that person would be a great Bible speaker, or that person would be something great for the Lord if they would only turn it loose and allow him to use them. You see, the number one thing, I've told you this, and I'll tell you this 100 times, that scares people to death is speaking in front of public. And the way that God uses us most of the time is with our mouths. Now, there is ways that he can use us without talking. We can reach out to the lost in many different ways, but a lot of times he uses our voice for that reason. And I've told you this, those of y'all may not heard it, but the number one fear of all people in the whole world is public speaking. It's speaking to a stranger. It's speaking to people. I want you to think, what would the world be like if somebody had not have talked to you? What would your spiritual shape be if somebody hadn't have put their talent to use to you? Because the Bible plainly teaches that how shall they hear without a teacher? How can you be saved? You're saved by the hearing of the Word of God. So how can you hear if no one preaches? How can you hear if no one teaches? So people's talents being used is how God begins spreading his word. So listen to what happened this morning in this parable. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 14. If you would, stand to your feet, the reading of God's word. Give you a little exercise this morning. I hope they said I said this all last message. Everybody made fun of me all week, but I do hope my voice holds up again today. It says in this gospel that the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness shall come, a witness in all nations, and then I'm in verse 20. Never mind. I was in the wrong chapter. Verse number 14, chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, brought forth the 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Listen how sad this next verse is. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I'm not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I could have received mine own with usury, or that's interest. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for this word. Father, I thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for everything you've blessed us with this morning. God, I ask you to take this morning and use it in a mighty way. And God, if there are some of us here that have our talents hid, God, I pray that you will encourage us to put that talent to work for you. God, I ask you to bless us this morning. God, touch my voice that I may be able to get through this. And Lord, preach it in a way that's pleasing unto you. For all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You see, as he began talking to these people, you see what had happened, the parable that he was putting to them of how this man was going on a journey and how he gave unto these men the talents that he would have them to use. And if you go back there to that verse number 14 for just a minute, I want you to see something, first of all, what he had done. Not only had he chosen those men, the Bible says he had called his own servants. And I want you to see today, my friend, that you too have been called. You may not have been called to be a preacher. You may not have been called to be a teacher. But you have been called into the servant of your Lord. You've been called into the service. You've been called to do something for Jesus Christ. He didn't save you to put you on a pew and just look pretty. He saved you to put to work for himself. I hear people all the time talk about when they go to heaven. They say, well, I can just imagine how great heaven's going to be. I'm going to be laying there, just laying on a cloud. I'm going to be up in heaven. I'm just going to be looking at the rainbows. I'm going to be just taking life easy and all this. Let me tell you something. That's not scriptural. The Bible teaches, he teaches these men right here, that he would put them over many things. You see, in heaven, I'm not real certain about what all we'll be doing, but it's not going to be laying around and enjoying eternity's roll by. Yes, we'll enjoy it. But we're going to have jobs to do. We're going to have work to do. But listen here. I want you to see that he had called them and he had trusted them as a servant. He had called them. Now listen, what does it mean to be called? What does it mean to be called? I could ask this question. You can come up with many different things. And the one thing that I deal with was my calling to preach. I remember when I began dealing with it, I began running. I wanted nothing to do with this calling. I wanted nothing to do with preaching the word. I am so shy. Stephanie says I don't even like to go through a drive-thru. I don't like to be in the public eye. I never have. I like to be on the sidelines just watching. But he had a calling on my life to be used. And now what is a calling? It is a strong, if you begin searching it out, it's a strong tug towards something or a strong pull. It's an ability that God has given you to do something for him. Every single one of y'all have an ability. Pat's is playing a piano. I know I give her a lot of trouble, but Pat's a very good piano player. We've got many great teachers in our church. We've got many great singers and different things all throughout the church. And if you haven't been getting a talent for that, I promise you, you've got a talent somewhere. You've just got to be able to find it. You've got to have the ability that God has given you. And I promise you, there is some ability that he has given every single man. Did you realize what he done? He called the servants and delivered unto them his goods. What does this mean? It means you don't have to come up with your own ability to do what you think God wants you to do. You are to search out what God has for you to do, and then you are to put it to work. It belongs to Him. It's His goods. He has bestowed them upon you, and He has called you to do those things. Now listen, He doesn't say that you just try to figure out what to do. He doesn't try to say that you just do the best you can and it's going to be okay. He said, I've delivered unto them His goods. He's given you what it is that you need to do His work. How many of y'all believe that for the foundation of the world that God had created you? I believe it. The Bible teaches it. Before we in a mother's womb, God already foreknew us. He knew everything about us. He had already fashioned us to do what it is He would have us to do. One day I want to ask Him a question. Why the Lord, He want to make me so short? Don't understand it. I want to ask Him why did He want me to preach? Of all the people in the world, why me? Oh my goodness, I can't even get scripture in order most of the time. I can't even get to things. I can't say most of these words. Even today, my voice don't even hardly work. Why in the world did He want that? That's the ability He put in me when He designed me before the world was even built. You see, it took me 33 years to find out what it was. Although I knew about it before 33 years, but it took Him 33 years to able His mercy and grace and slow to anger with me to allow me to answer this calling He had. So you have been called, my friend. You have been called. You're sitting there right now and something is crossing your mind that you have the ability to do. It may be reaching out to the lost through a food ministry. It may be reaching out to the lost through many different ministries. I don't know what it is, but I promise you, today you have been called. You've been called. And He's delivered unto you His goods. He's given you everything. He's given you everything that it takes to be sufficient. To give you have is not yours. To hoard, it's meant to be used. How many of y'all ever saw the show Hoarders on TV? You ever saw that show? You know what it is? It's a house full of a bunch of stuff that's worth absolutely nothing, is it? Why is it not worth anything? Because most of it's garbage. Most of it's been put aside. And listen, and if it is any good, it's no good sitting in that house. It must be gotten out of the house so it can be used. The same way our talents is. Many of y'all, hey, I've seen some of y'all's talents. Y'all are some talented people. Y'all have many, many talents. It's just getting our talents put into the right place so God can begin using them. I promise you today, you have exactly what it takes. That gift's been given to you is not yours. It's not yours. It says it right there. He delivered unto them His goods. I believe we're all honest people in this place. I believe I could give y'all a $100 bill and say, hold this for me, and then I could come back, everybody but probably Abby. I could say, hold this for me, and I'll be back in 2 weeks to get it. I believe with all my heart you would still have my money. I believe you'd have my money available when I come back. So listen, if I bestowed unto you my goods, you would have my goods and you would have it available to me. So why is it that He's bestowed upon you His goods, but you're not using His goods? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Why did I say these goods are not yours? It says you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. How in the world do you glorify God in your body? It's about using your abilities to glorify God. Whatever it is He's blessed you with, a church, I want us to start using them. If you got an ability to teach and you ain't teaching, bless God, I know we changed in October to a brand new church year, but you come to me, you come to the deacons or somebody, and you say, I've got an ability to teach people, I want to do it. We'll find you a place. You got the ability to talk to people, invite them to church. Get busy. Put that ability to work. Glorify God in your body. It's not your own body. You have been bought with a price. Bought with a price. What is a price? We preached about it last week. It's the very blood of Jesus Christ. He bought you. It says you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you've been redeemed with the best precious blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, that same blood that saved you is the same blood that gave you eternal life, and He gave you the ability to win others to Him. What this thing is all about. The gift you have is not your own. It's meant to be used. You must find what has been given unto you and put it out there. Put it out there. What in the world if Tua, the quarterback for Alabama, decided that he didn't want to be a quarterback? Wouldn't that be sad? He's one of the best ones we have probably ever seen. What if he decided he didn't want to do that? Hey, what if, think about your Elvis Presley. Think if Elvis Presley just didn't want to be a singer. The world would never knew Elvis Presley. What a great singer he was. What a great actor he was. And all these things, what I'm saying is, if he hadn't put it out there, his ability would never have been known. His ability never had been known. But you know what? The safe thing is not to put our ability out there. You know why? Because if you don't try, you don't fail. If you don't try to do something, you don't have to worry about being a failure. Is that not how we are a lot of times? We're so afraid of failing, so afraid of making a mess of something, that we will not even step out there. I remember when I first started to preach. I still remember the first Sunday. Boy, you talking about nervous. Now, I was sure enough nervous that first Sunday. It's the only time I've ever prayed that God would keep people from church. I used to preach that night at 6 o'clock. I remember I thought you had to wear a suit and tie, and I still do. Y'all know that sometimes. But listen, I thought I had to go find one. I didn't own one. Had to go find, I borrowed one from Rodney Hagan, I think it was. The pants wouldn't fit, but I made the rest of it work. But listen, I used to be there at 6 o'clock. I remember going in there, and I began studying. Lord, what would you have me to do? I don't know why I did this, Lord. I'm not able to preach this message. I don't know why you did this thing. Now remember, I prayed, Lord, please don't let nobody come. Please don't let nobody show up. And by this time, my mama has done called everybody we've ever known. I pull up in Concord, and it looks like we're having a family reunion. Cars is everywhere. I'm thinking, Lord, I've made a mistake. I didn't do this. And Randall Moore was up talking, and he started to introduce me. I wasn't even listening to what he was saying. I was thinking about, how am I going to get out of this? Now, my stomach was tied in a knot, and I got up there, and I remember opening my Bible, and that's about the last thing I remember. And I got done, and I was like, where did that come from? Listen, what I'm telling you is today, if you will put it out there, God will bless it. If you'll put it out there, he'll begin using it. But he cannot use what you will not put to work. Every single one of y'all, I want you, you're going to hear this 1,000 times if my voice holds up in this sermon. Every single person in here has something that God has blessed you to use. Will you put it out there? Will you put it out there so that he can begin using it? I read a devotion this week, went right along what he lay on my heart. Charles Stanley writes an in-touch devotion every day. I don't know if y'all read them, but I read it on my computer. And Charles Stanley talked about this exact thing. And Charles Stanley said, he said that God provides everything we need, but listen what we have to put into it. We have to put into it the effort and the excitement. You see, if you ever, the one problem we make in churches is we kind of recruit people to do jobs. We'll say, brother, we sure did, and we'll even make you feel bad about it. We'll say, we have nobody to teach the youth, or we have nobody to teach our adult class, or wouldn't you please do this, or beg it, and to try to be good people, we always say, yes. Yes, I'll do it. You see, the bottom line of this thing is many people are in areas of church service that is not where their ability is. You say, well, all right, now you're encouraging us, now you're discouraging us. No, I'm not. I'm encouraging you to find the ability that God has blessed you with, the talent he's blessed you with, and then you supply the encouragement, the excitement, and the go-forwardness. I don't even know that's a word, but it sounds good. Remember, it's not yours. It's all his. You supply the effort and the passion. Verse number 15, how much do you have? How much do you have? It says he gave unto 5 talents, another 2, and to another one, 1. And listen, I deal with this thing every single day because I have pride. And we all have pride, and I know it's foolish pride. But listen, we turn on the Facebook, and we'll see such and such church. And man, there was 14 saved this morning. They baptized 30. And we'll go, oh my goodness, why am I even preaching? I should just go to church with them. And we'll see all these things and all these great things they're doing. And we'll think, why in the world is that not me? Well, my friend right here is the answer. He gave him 5 talents. Another he gave 2. Another he gave 1. The bottom line of it is, my talent to preach is not the same talent that Charles Stanley's is. Your talent to sing is not the same as Elvis Presley's or whoever we want to talk about is. Your talent to play a piano is not the same as Jerry Lee Lewis. Pat, it's got a different reason. Listen, he gives to the people talents as he sees their ability. It's right here. He gave unto 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his ability. Why? Why is it today that somebody is better at something than I am? Well, the reason is that God's given more of the talent than he gave me. And listen, where much is given, much is expected. If he has given you a great bit of talent, he expects a great return out of it. If he's given you a talent to preach, then he expects a great return out of that thing. He says he gives to every man according to his ability. So I ask you a question. How much talent do you have? You have exactly the amount that he give you to do what it is he has called you to do. The reason you have that much ability is he's called you to that. You may not see the full fruit of that thing 2 years down the road, but the whole deal of it is he has give you exactly what you need to do for the calling he has given you. How much of it do you have? He doesn't expect a Billy Graham out of everybody. He doesn't expect a Billy Graham out of me. He doesn't expect a Franklin Graham or a Charles Stanley or whoever you want to put in that famous evangelist or somebody who's been real blessed to win a lot of lost souls. Hey, he doesn't expect that. I get down on myself all the time. I preached for 10 years. Haven't saw a great big harvest in all my preaching. I just never have. Listen, it may be God's will that he uses me to plant seeds. It may be God's will he used me to water seeds. But the only thing I can do is try to preach to the best of my ability, do exactly what God's called me to do, and if anybody is saved, it's left up to him. Amen. It's not about what I can do. It's about doing with what he's given me. He doesn't expect the Billy Graham out of everybody. He doesn't expect. He expects you to use what he's bestowed upon you. Boy, it's not fun to admit that some people just has more talent, is it? Just some people is better at certain things than I am. I can hear somebody preach a sermon and I can think, my goodness, I wish I went to church there. I can hear some people sing and I can think, oh my goodness, what a singer. I can hear some people teach a Sunday school lesson and I can think, that person is truly talented. I can hear some people do that and I think, I wish I could do that. And then if I'm not careful, I become jealous. Listen, I need to understand that he's given me the ability to do exactly what he's called me to do and he expects me to be doing it. This brings us to verse 16. What are you doing with what talent he has given you? What are you doing with what he has given you? Then he that received the five talents went and traded the same and made other five talents. You see, the one that he had blessed with a bunch of talents, and listen, you got to understand how much money, if you want to think this from a physical sense, let me tell you how much money he entrusted this one man with. Do you know how much five talents of gold would have been in that time? How much five talents of money would have been in that Bible times? 100 years worth of wages. He entrusted that man with 100 years worth of paychecks. Think about that for a minute. And what is that saying to us? It's been saying that man, he is blessed to preach such as Billy Graham, and that great ability he's put upon him, he's put upon a great responsibility upon that man. Listen, this guy that was given five talents, he had a great responsibility to make five other talents out of all that money. Listen, if God's given me the great ability to preach, I've got a responsibility to be doing it to my best ability so God can get a return on his investment. More souls won to him. Listen, if he gave me a two-talent ability, such as this next man had, he expects me to be using it to the best of my ability, and that I might make two other talents for him. What am I doing with what he's given me? Boy, I had to answer this week. And I began to think about something. And y'all be honest with me yourself. How many of us this morning is simply doing church half-heartedly? If you're a Sunday school teacher in this church, how many of you is doing it half-heartedly? It's okay because I had to answer my own question. How many of us does our position with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all our body? I'll tell you the answer to that. Very few. And you know what? The ones that are doing a great job, you know what they're seeing? They're the ones we're seeing on the Facebook where the 14 are saved and all this work is being done for God. Am I saying God works out for works? No, he does not. But listen, God blesses it when a man puts his effort into it. When you call upon him, you pray to him, and you call out and ask God to use you and bless you with all this ability, you better be using it. What are you doing? What talent God has given you? You never know. You never know who may be impressed by what you do for the Lord. There's people that I idolize in the ministry. I have looked at their life and I've watched what they've done with the talents God's given them. You may say, well, you don't understand, preacher. I'm not very good at anything. Yes, you are. There is one thing that you are extraordinarily good at that God has blessed you with. You just may not be doing it. There may be many things you do, but I promise you, you've got one thing that you're good at. Most of us have more than that. You see, once that one looks at you, I had a young man that was called to preach down in Lionville when I was there pastoring. And he would call me every day for about a week. Preacher, I don't know what's happening. I think I may be called to preach. But I don't like getting in front of crowds. I don't like doing this. I don't like doing that. There's no way he can be called me to preach. Surely it's got to be something else. I'm too shy to stand in front of a crowd. That cannot be what it is. And I would begin telling him about how I struggle with standing in the public. Listen, in school, I'd about soon take a zero as I would get in front of people and speak. What I'm saying is somebody may be impressed with what you do, and they too may put their ability to work. You never know who's watching you, who's got that same ability. It's not about who has the most talents. God knows exactly what you're capable of doing and what we will do or what has been given. What are you doing with the talents that's been given to you? If God has entrusted you with great talents, is those things hoarded up? Do you have them in a closet, spiritually speaking, and not willing to use them? Afraid of failure. That's the number one thing. I want you to see that. Did you understand what the scripture said right there? Where he said, why did he hide them? Why did he hide them talents? Why in the world was the talents hid? Verse number 25, it says, and I was afraid. He tells the master when he comes back, he says, why didn't you use that talent? He said, I was afraid. Listen, friends, fear will keep you from doing anything for the Lord. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of all these things will keep you from doing what? Listen, and fear is mentioned many times in the scripture. Many times, do not fear is mentioned. Once for every day of the year, matter of fact. We have no reason to fear. But this guy feared about what would happen. He said, I was afraid of who you were. And listen, the guy simply was lying to the master. He said, I was afraid because I knew you was a hard man. And the master told him, he said, all right, if you knew I was a hard man, why didn't you get to work? If you knew I was hard, why didn't you get to work? The bottom line of it is you're not hard. You know who I am. You know exactly what I expect. The whole reason you are not using your talent, because you are lazy. Boy, I had to say, oh, me right here, Rudy. I hope Stephanie ain't here. Hope Stephanie's not here. We're lazy. Where does it tell us that? Listen to what he tells him. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Wicked and slothful. What does slothful mean? Lazy. He said, it's not because you was afraid. Yes, you was maybe afraid of a few things. That's not the reason you didn't use that talent. The reason you didn't use it, you was simply lazy. I don't know how many people in here this morning is in a position where you have workers that work under you, or you work in a company where they're hiring new workers all the time. But if you are, you'll find out something. Oh, we are living in a generation of lazy people. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I've never seen a time of it is. We have everything makes life so easy, but bless God, we become so lazy, we don't want to do anything. It has trickled its way down all the way into our service for God. We don't want to do anything for anybody, and especially for God. We are so caught up in our own doings, we don't want anything to do with the church. You go talk to pastors, you talk to deacons, you talk to anybody, and the number one problem you have in churches today is finding people to fulfill positions in God's house. Why? Because we're lazy. You see, I said all of that about talents to get to this point. Because we got an upcoming year coming, and I want it to be the best year that New Harmony Baptist Church has ever had. And I know half of them's in Tennessee, but bless God, they got Facebook. They're going to hear this. It's going to come on their email about 12:30, 1 o'clock. It'll pop up on your email. So they can, whether they do listen to it or not, I don't know. But they'll be able to hear this. So this is for y'all, too, that's in Tennessee. Listen, we've all been given ability that God's blessed us with. We've all been given different talents. We've all been given things to use for Him. Bless God, it's up to us to provide the passion, provide the excitement, and it's up to us to get to work for Him. And the reason we're not is because we are lazy. He says, you're a slothful servant. And I began thinking, eternity's a long time. And he's told them right here, he told these that use their talents well. He says, enter into the Lord's joy. Enter into joy with the Lord. He said, that you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you a master over many. Terry, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend eternity sweeping floors. I don't want to spend eternity being a janitor in heaven. I know that's kind of comical. But listen, if I'm going to go there forever and I want to be with him forever, brother, I want to be doing the best I can. And to do the best I can up there, guess what I have to do? I have to do the best I can down here. I may not can preach very well. I may not can teach very well. But bless God, if I do the best with what he's given me, I've done all I can do. Amen. That's all I can do is what he has blessed me with. If he's given me 5 talents, so be it. But it don't look like he has. I don't even know if he's given me 2 talents, Rudy. But bless God, he's at least given me 1 because I'm breathing. Why? Why are we not using them? I wrote these things down. I'm about done. Why was they not put to use? Slothful, no commitment, no desire, and a plain just do not care. Just don't care. You see, our church service has become something that many times it becomes a box we check on Sundays or Wednesdays. It's just something we do. I'll hear people all the time, not just in our church, but every church. I'll hear people say, oh me, I've got to go to church on Sunday. May I tell you something? If you lived in China, you know what you would say? I get to go to church on Sunday. I get to go worship the Lord. If you lived in a nation, and by the way, we have young men and women right now fighting on foreign soil. I know there may not be a war per se going on, but there's people in harm's way every day for minding your freedom as I speak this morning. So I can come into a church house and I can spit and stammer and stutter and all these things. They're doing that for my freedom. And the bottom line of this thing, I do not even appreciate it. If I did, I'd be doing more with it. We sit here on our hind ends doing absolutely nothing, and then you know what we'll say at the end of the year? I wonder why we didn't see more people saved. I wonder why we didn't see this happen. I wonder why our church didn't grow in this and that. Well, may I ask you today, my friend, where's your talent? Where's it at? Did you understand where this guy's was? It was still hitting the ground. It was still in the ground exactly where he put it. And you know what's going to be? We got 2 undertakers in here this morning. I've always heard these are the best friends you ever have. They the last ones that let you down. Do you know what? I didn't think about that until right now. Is your talent going to be buried with you? Is your talent going to stay buried when your body is put into the ground? Or is old so-and-so going to say, I remember the talent that boy had he used for the Lord. Oh, he wasn't much, but oh, he could sing. He wasn't much, but oh, he could teach. He wasn't much, or oh, he could preach, or he could do this, or he could do that. Is that thing going to be buried with you when you're put into the ground? Or is it going to live on? He said, you've been faithful over a few. I'll make you master over a bunch. I began thinking about this too. Most of our talents are hidden under something. Most of our talents are hidden under something. Some kind of dirt has our talents hid. It may be a certain sin that's got you down. Most of the time, that's what hides our talents. We get caught up in a sin and we don't think we're available to be used for the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a sin, there's a way out of that thing this morning. The name's Jesus Christ. If you're caught up in a sin that you don't know how to get out of, I'll tell you what to do. You come down here, you ask God to forgive you, and the Bible says he's just forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he'll place you back in the right position you was. You don't believe that, brother. You read the story about the prodigal son. He'll put you right back in the same position. He'll put a ring back on your hand. He'll put a robe back on you. He'll put shoes on your feet. If you're here this morning and some kind of dirt has your talent hid, I beg you to dig that thing up this morning. Amen. Dig it up. That may have been something you was passionate about 10 years ago, and things happened that put that passion out. That may have been something you was passionate about, some talent you had, and oh, you used to love to do that job in the church, but so-and-so made you mad and hurt your feelings and all these things years ago, and I just ain't going to do it no more. Well, may I tell you something? You're not doing that for them. You're doing it for the Lord. Dig that talent up this morning. The master come back, and 3 men stood before him. 2 of them had been faithful. 1 hid their talent. He tells him this one, he says, where's my talent? He said, it's over yonder in the ground right where I put it. He said, you slothful and wicked servant. Now listen, this is a parable. And this is a controversial scripture right here at the end. People argue over this one and all. What does it mean? He says, thrust them into outer darkness where there may be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people believe that's hell. Although you cannot base any doctrinal stuff off of a parable. The Bible, we know that of studying the Bible. You cannot do that. That's not where we get our doctrine from. It's not parables. But listen, he's saying if you don't use that talent, you're no good. If you're not using that talent for me, put him over here out of the way. I think the most saddest thing in the world is people that's blessed with an ability and does not do it. I've seen it. I mention this a lot because it's so prevalent in our world today. I've saw this in even coaching little girls softball. You'll see a girl that has a great bit of talent. Oh, she'll be so talented, but she has absolutely zero drive. Why? She's lazy. Why? I don't know. She just is. And I've seen the same kid. I've seen the same bunch of kids be out. One little girl we used to have, bless her heart, she was born like me. She was born way shorter than the rest of the kids. And she was like me also. She was born a little rounder than the rest of the kids. And she didn't have the ability the kids had. But you know what she did? She put everything she had into being successful every day. She may not could run as fast, but she run as hard as she could every time she run. And everything she did, you know what that girl was? She was a joy to coach on that softball team. She put her heart into everything she did. And I can just imagine the joy of the Lord when you put your heart into His service. This morning, I know there's not many of us here, so it ought to be easy. Will you dig that talent up? That one you got buried. Now that one that you decided that you're going to keep to yourself, will you dig that thing up and put it to use for the Lord? Listen, if you ain't going to do nothing else with it, at least put it in the bank so it can draw some interest. Don't go over there and hide the thing so nobody else can use it. Put it to some use this morning. God didn't bless you with ability to sit there and bury it under dirt. The discourse that Jesus was given is about the church in the last days. Be honest, is this not exactly what we're seeing today? Look around and talk to pastors, deacons, and you will see the struggles that we're having just trying to staff churches, which is a tool that the Lord has set up to reach the lost. Listen, it's not about just having a great place to come worship. The local body of Christ is the sanctuary that God has set up. It's the system God has set up to reach out to lost and dying communities. That's why this thing is important. Listen, it's not about having great, big, beautiful facilities. I love them. I love new buildings. I love to have a church van for our youth to go to Tennessee in and all these things. But listen, that's not the reason a church is set up. A church is set up to reach lost souls for Jesus Christ. And the reason a church is not successful as she should be today is she's operating as a body who is missing arms, legs, and eyes. What do I mean? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. I'm a Baptist preacher, so I just closed three times, Keith. And he gave some apostles, listen to this. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From the whole body, I want you to understand this, we're going to close with this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. What does that mean? That means your part in this church is important. Your talent is important. You are part of this body. And the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. My friend, your talent does matter. Why have you got that thing hidden? Dig it up. Dig it up this morning. Church, it's important that we get busy. What I mean by get busy, I mean get busy with what it is that God has you to do. I'm not saying we plan 100,000 different things throughout this year. We tend to think that's what it talks about getting busy for the Lord. What it talks about getting busy for the Lord is finding our talent, putting our ability and our passion into that talent. Hey, it's okay if somebody don't preach like I do. I don't preach like other people. But what I cannot stand is somebody not to do the best they can do. Me and Stephanie, some of the worst fusses we ever got in is playing volleyball. We've had money problems and all throughout our marriage. Some of the worst fusses is playing volleyball or rook. You know why? Because I think she can do better. And I can't stand to see somebody that I know's got a talent but won't use it. That's one thing I cannot stand. So I can imagine how my Lord must feel when I've got my talent buried under dirt, knowing he has blessed me with a great talent, and I've got it stored away under some dirt, afraid to use it. Would you stand this morning? I don't know if Pat's going to play or what we're going to do. Pat plays this morning. Is there a talent that God has blessed you with that you know? My friend, if you know that is a calling that is on your life. Why in the world keep that thing hid? I kept mine hid for probably 10 years. I kept it hid for 10 years and God made me dig it up. This morning, where's your talent? Where is it at? You see, if your talent was on display, if every Christian's talent was on display, there wouldn't be churches today that's without pastors. There wouldn't be churches today that's without piano players. There wouldn't be churches today that's how they. You say you think about the piano players important to the Lord? Yes, I do. You go and study about music in the Bible, my friend. Listen, they should be not a single church in our county, in our nation, lacking for any position if God's people was using the talents he had blessed them with. We've got them hid. Would you dig yours up this morning? And be honest with the Lord. It's up to you to provide the effort and a passion. God has given you the talent when he formed you. When you was formed in your mother's womb, that talent was bestowed upon you, even before that, to be used for him. Sad thing is today, we see very few of them. Would you come this morning? Maybe you don't know him at all. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Would you give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning? Would you call upon him and ask him to save you? And then when he saves you, begin searching that talent. That's another failure of the church, is failing to disciple young believers and getting them to understand their talents they have for him. It's a great failure we have. As she plays this morning, would you come?